and would like to start this segment by apologizing for all of the runaround. It was Rob Volman joins us now from Hockey Abstract every Thursday on the Big Show. Rob, like, it has been the most up in the air, juggling 700 different things at once day that I can ever remember. We had so many floating things. So I apologize for the runaround on an exact time. But Rob Volman joins us now from Hockey Abstract. How are you, Rob?
Well, I'm doing great, and don't worry, I don't think you inconvenienced more than a few dozen of my fans. I'm still still building up the fan base.
I feel bad for each and every one, though, and it's on us. So I wanted to apologize. Pat Steinberg, Will Nolte, and Rob Volman from Hockey Abstract on with us right now. And I want to start by let's get right into it, because on NHL.com, you got into some second-round matchups, and you broke those down on NHL.com. And then on ESPN.com, you kind of got even deeper and broke down some individual matchups, and that's where I want to start. And we'll start with the series that are already underway. Connor McDavid and Ryan Kessler is the matchup that you broke down in that series between Edmonton and Anaheim. We saw it play out last night. What intrigues you about that individual showdown?
Well, I think there's no question that that's the showdown that everyone's been looking forward to, because Connor McDavid, you know, won the Art Ross Trophy. He's favored to win the Hart Trophy. It looks like this is the start of a Sidney Crosby-like career where he's just going to dominate the scoring race for years to come. Yet here he is going head-to-head with his first big challenge, Ryan Kessler, Selke finalist. You saw what he did to Sean Monahan and Johnny Gaudreau, not a single even strength point between them. It's going to be really, really interesting to see if Kessler, the veteran, the defensive specialist, can slow down Connor McDavid.
Connor McDavid yet to break out in this postseason. That's another really interesting story to watch. And then the other Western Conference series, Nashville and St. Louis. What's the individual matchup that really pops off the page for you there?
Well, that's a very interesting comparison, Nashville and St. Louis, because St. Louis puts pretty much all their scoring on one line, Tarasenko, Schwartz, and Stastny, now that he's back. Whereas Nashville, they only basically run four defensemen. They don't really use their third pairing much. It's very old school that way. And defensively, if that's the Yossi Ellis pairing that's going to be keying in on Tarasenko, as opposed to the Subban Ekholm, which maybe gets more of the offensive presence, gets to go there more with when Nashville's trying to score. So it's a very specific type of matchup, but you have to look at Yossi and figure, hey, he managed to stop Patrick Kane and Artemi Panarin. I mean, that's who he was focused on in the first round, predominantly in the defensive zone. And obviously he did a great job. So I think Tarasenko could be in trouble here.
Rob Volman's our guest here on the Big Show on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Ottawa and the Rangers about 8 or 9 minutes away from puck drop in game one of that series. Rob, a lot of talk about Erik Karlsson, and rightly so, because he is one of the best on the blue line in the league. But you're not necessarily looking at individuals here. You're kind of looking at a battle of the blue line as a whole. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'd agree with that, mostly because, you know, Ottawa is one team with their captain on the ice and another when Carlson's not, and they have been for years. But Carlson's got that hairline fracture in his heel, and, you know, we don't exactly know whether he's at 100% or 95% or 90%. So really, mm-hmm. It's the entire blue line that has to step up and I think, fill in some of these gaps. And on the other side, too, I think really Ryan McDonagh is the defenseman I point to as the leader of the Rangers' blue line. I mean, he's the one for years that has taken on top opponents, that has been killing penalties, that has been playing in both zones, has been facing the top opponents like Erik Karlsson. And so, really, it's really the blue lines that I think are really on the stage in that series.
And then how about the other Eastern Conference series, Washington and Pittsburgh, and maybe a matchup that the average fan wouldn't pick up, but you've highlighted it, Sidney Crosby and Matt Niskanen.
Yeah, normally it wouldn't be Matt Niskanen. Normally, Carl Alvner is the defenseman whose job it is to shut down mm-hmm. Sidney Crosby or top opponents. But, of course, his status is very questionable. And so I think it's going to fall on Matt Niskanen and his partner, Dmitry Orlov. But, you know, the funny thing here, though, is even if you do manage to slow down Crosby, even if you do manage to contain him, if it's at the expense of Kessel and Malkin lighting it up, well, the Columbus Blue Jackets have already learned what happens when that transpire. So here's another case where the whole blue line is going to have to come in if Niskanen is focusing on Crosby.
Rob Volman's with us, Hockey Abstract, every Thursday here on the Big Show on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Anything else, you know, from the second round, whether it be the individual matchups, just anything else that really jumps off the page to you, or when you were doing your overall previews that you, you know, really looked at and said, hey, this is something that I'm going to be keying in on?
Well, it's hard to say because, you know, I'll be honest, a lot of these second round matchups weren't what I predicted. It wasn't what I expected to happen in the second round.
You and me both.
Yeah, I think everyone's bracket got busted pretty fast. And, hey, I'm no exception. I think a couple things happened. First of all, I think there was a lot of parity. I mentioned to Rob Kerr before the playoffs started that there was, you know, about four of the eight series. I had really no idea who to pick because they were so closely matched. And let's be honest, I think the outcome of the series wasn't what we expected either. And a good example is Minnesota against St. Louis. Minnesota significantly outplayed St. Louis. I don't know how much of those games you got to catch, but the whole game was being spent in the St. Louis zone. And Allen was just getting peppered from up close, from far away, rebounds, rush shots, everything. And yet St. Louis still won. And arguably that happened in a couple other series too. So that's one reason, for instance, that I'm going to be watching that St. Louis-Nashville series. No one expected St. Louis-Nashville. And so it's really wide open what could happen there.
When taking, because you're right. I mean, I think most people's brackets got busted in round number one. It was that type of first round. Now, you kind of wrote a column about some of the biggest surprises in round number one. First of all, before we get into some specifics, where do we find that article? Is that an NHL or an ESPN article?
Yeah, the one-on-one matchups we just discussed, that's on ESPN Insider. And, the five interesting stats about the first round. I also wrote five interesting stats about each of these four matchups. That's all on NHL.com.
Okay, good to know. So just a couple of the interesting stories that you touched on. Phil Kessel and Evgeny Malkin were one for you. How come that was as interesting as it was for you, Rob?
Well, like I mentioned earlier, I mean, with players like Brandon Dubinsky really keying in on Crosby, that really opened up the way for Kessel and Malkin to have an amazing first round. The Penguins outscored their opponents 12-0 when those two players were on the ice, which is just incredible. 12-0 in a relatively short series. And on top of that, it's not just the goals. You know, I like to dig deeper than that. I look at the shots. I look at shot attempts. I look at Corsi. Mm-hmm. I look at other numbers. And they were at the top of the league by those other metrics, too. So it wasn't just a couple of lucky bounces. And furthermore, here's a fun thing. There are two of only six players who scored a point in all three manpower situations. So it wasn't just an even strength or just on the power play. They're contributing everywhere.
Jake Gardner jumped off the page for you. How come?
Well, you know me. I like to look at who plays the tough minutes. It's always been an interest of mine. And I use player usage charts and other tools to figure out who's taking on the top opponents, who's playing the big minutes, you know, who's playing in the defensive zone a lot. And to my surprise, because I don't think this is the first name you would think of, is it? To my surprise, Jake Gardner was the one who led in even strength ice time per game. He's the one that was taking on the top opponents, was keying in on Ovechkin and Backstrom and Oshie. He played twice as many minutes against that line as any other Capitals forward. And a lot of it was spent in the defensive zone, taking those defensive zone draws. So that was a real surprise to me. I didn't see Gardner as that type of player. Did you?
No, absolutely not. And you know, it's kind of evolved as a player. I mean, from a guy who was so offensively sheltered early on to then playing that role in the postseason, that's quite the evolution.
Yeah, I think he played it very effectively as well. He's always had great shot-based metrics, but there's a few other numbers I'll throw at you that I dug into. One is I take a look at the number of rebounds that occur on the ice, rebound shots, both offensive and defensive. And I look at shots off the rush, so being able to get the puck up the ice quickly. And in both those regards, Gardner was among the best in the first round at preventing rebounds and getting those shots off the rush for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Very interesting. And then finally, rookie impacts, because there were a couple of interesting rookies who made an impact in round number one.
Yeah, we saw one close up because in that first round, Anaheim's blue line was very bloody. They were without two of their top players for the entire series, except I think Vatanen got in for one game, right? So in the absence of those, of basically two of the top three defensemen, they were using Shea Theodore a lot. He played with Kevin Bieksa, and he actually wound up tying for the team lead with 5 points. And it reminds me of what happened over in Boston, where they had Charlie McAvoy, another rookie. He was on the top line with Zdeno Chara, top pairing with Zdeno Chara. He was second on the Bruins in minutes to Chara. He also scored 3 points, which is only 1 point back of the team lead. So a lot of surprising rookie contributions that go beyond, the expected in Toronto.
Some great stuff to check out on both NHL.com and the insider section of ESPN.com with Rob Volman of Hockey Abstract. Great stuff as always, my friend. Thank you so much, and we will talk to you again next week.
You bet.
Rob Volman is on Twitter at Hockey Abstract, and R. Volman NHL is the Twitter handle, hockeyabstract.com, NHL.com, and the insider portion of ESPN.com joins us on the South Street Burger Guest Hotline, introducing the Barbecue Bacon Burger, 100% Angus beef with real cheddar, jalapenos, and 40 Creek Whiskey barbecue sauce. Better burgers, fries, and shakes. William, our final segment together live from Kia City, and today...